episode 363.
So I got my education as well. Of In Waterhouse, so listening to Auto Vitals, to see Kukui, to see, you know, all of these other processes, if you will, and systems, RLO, Elite, all these guys out there, being able to be around there and get my education as well. It was an awesome time in my life.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to Remarkable Results Radio with David Justice, a former multi-shop owner who is now partner and founder of Repair Shops of Tomorrow. Hey, are you in touch with our remarkable community? Get inside our ecosystem at remarkableresults.biz/social. And a shout out to new Facebook friends, Zachary Hampton, Owen Paul Nevins, and Carrie Edwards, and LinkedIn connections, Chris Thompson and Sandy Hansen. Hey, listen, satisfying the forever student with a treasure trove of knowledge is what we do here on the podcast. So to take another big step in delivering access to resources, we have added a book section on our website to bolster your personal development and growth. As my friend Barry Barrett says, leaders are readers. Check out the brand new page and see all the books we've discussed on the podcast. Find it on the menu bar or on your favorite web browser, remarkableresults.biz/books. Keep in mind that Federal Mogul's Garage Gurus brings you free access to Remarkable Results Radio. Now, if you can't make it to a hands-on training session, Garage Gurus Online provides you with 24/7 access to the high-quality training you need to succeed. Online, on-site, and on-demand. Find out more at fmgarageGurus.com. When David Justice sold his $5 million business, he was already speaking and coaching in partnership with NAPA. To help run his business, David created the Labor Profit Management Tool to keep a tight and smart handle on his labor, and he also was asked by NAPA to speak to service professionals on the power of managing your labor. Post-business sale, he started Repair Shops of Tomorrow, which not only incorporates the Labor Profit Management Tool, he also helps shops focus on marketing. David decided he needed to give back, and he's working hard to help shop owners achieve exceptional success. We talk about the three-legged stool, rewards, networking, and a ton more. Find David's bio and the show's talking points at remarkableresults.biz/E363. Go ahead, get ready, learn a lot. Hey, a warm welcome to David Justice from Repair Shop of Tomorrow. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Carm, how are you?
I'm great. So you sold your stores in 2015.
I did, actually 2016, all three of them, yeah.
Were you looking to get out? Was it a great opportunity to move on? I mean, I'm sure our audience would love to hear the unabridged version.
Actually, in October of 2016, we sold our three stores to the largest independent. But up until that, we had actually been ready to go out and look to obtain more stores. And quite honestly, after working with them, when they came with an offer, I had told them what I wanted. They came back and said we weren't going to do that. They came back later on and made another offer. And then at that point in time, after talking with my family, it was the right decision.
Good for you. But you basically said to yourself, I need to give back. I want to do more. And then here comes Repair Shop of Tomorrow.
I'm very thankful I had the opportunity and 2008, I believe, we built Labor Profit Management to look at the labor side of the business. And NAPA came down and looked at it and asked me if we would share that with other dealers. So I kind of got the bug from there. And once I was done, I knew that I absolutely, you know, just had to stay in the business. This is what I do.
The operative word there is bug.
Yeah, it's a bug. It is. It's, you know, it's a fraternity. There's so many fantastic coaching companies out and everything. I just want to be able to help people.
You're right. And it's almost like that there's not enough. And then there's so many opportunities out there to engage and grow super service businesses. And, you know, I guess I'd love to talk about how to gain freedom from your business.
Well, the number one thing that I saw when I was out doing seminars with NAPA, is that most of the shop owners felt almost slaves to their business. So when I got out, I looked at like three legs to the stool, and that's education, communication, and implementation. The education to me was learning the SOPs, how to run your business, having scoreboards so everybody knows exactly where they are. The communication was, I grew up in a business with my father, and quite frankly, it was a handshake and word of mouth. Today, how we communicate is really social media. It's Facebook. And then lastly, implementation. I know that when I had my first store, I was so busy that life got in the way. I have five kids. I just didn't have time to do everything. So with Repair Shop of Tomorrow, we actually do the marketing and implement it for you.
Oh, so you're really trying to relieve some certain responsibilities of the shop owner by bringing it into your house.
Absolutely. And the real goal is to allow shop owners to do what they do best. And for me, that's building relationships at the counter in the community and fixing cars. I want to be able to bring the right kind of car through predictive marketing for them. And I want them to work with system operation or procedures with us and manage KPIs. I want, in essence, the dealer to become an owner and not work in his business.
The buzz is you gotta become a CEO.
Well, it is. And so many of us started out in the business as technicians. So many of those great people that love to help people are still trying to fulfill that dream. But if we're not on top of it with managing system operation procedure, setting up scoreboard for our employees, building team, getting everybody to ride the bus the same way. And then obviously we have to bring in from the marketing standpoint, it's different than it used to be. We need to do our predictive market value added offers to bring the right kind of client in. It's not enough to do a 995 oil change. That's, you're going to burn your people out. We have to bring the right kind of client in with the right kind of predictive market.
The right kind of client. I love it. Hey, let's just jump back to the three-legged stool. I loved that. You said education, communication, implementation. I love it. Can we tear that apart just a little bit? Education. Why is that important?
Well, I know that before I had the education, I didn't know what I didn't know. So rather you're going with an ATI, an RLO, an Elite, or what have you, I would suggest everyone is in a coaching program to help themselves, because they're going to teach us about system operation procedure, what right looks like. Once we build the education side of it, and we know what right looks like, then it's communication. And communication is, how are we going to communicate to the right clients out there? Well, we do that with value-added offers and predictive marketing. So we go in and help them in their list, grab the right list. And then lastly, because life gets in the way, we want to take that off the dealer's plate. We're actually going to implement that marketing for them over the different medias. So we don't do marketing pieces. We build marketing programs.
I love that. Marketing programs. That's a powerful phrase there. Not marketing pieces, but marketing programs. What do you mean?
Well, when we do the branded look, branded content, branded message over all the different medias, and it's going out to the right client, we get results. Number one reason we lose our clients is because we're not in front of them.
Very important. You said business coaches. Got to have a business coach. I have a keynote speech that talks about the top 9 success strategies that I've learned from doing all these great interviews. And business coaches is on that list. Amazing, the success that I've heard from guys and ladies that have gotten to, they hit the brick wall. And they wish they had listened to that brick wall many years earlier.
Well, myself included, again, I never have a challenge or a problem with any client that doesn't have the education. For me, the struggle comes is when someone gets the education and doesn't implement it. So that's where it gets tough. And, it's the old adage, we can't care about your business more than you. We have a lot of great clients that just want to implement. And what I mean by that is when we lay system operation and procedure in front of them, I call it rungs in the ladder. We have to work with each individual client with their aptitude and how they can move forward. But the ones that really want to implement, and I call it master the mundane, because once we give them something, they do it over and over and over. They then in turn can move faster in the program, because system operation procedure is not something that you change in a day. We need to change it over a period of time and do it over the same way over and over and over. So for me, that's just a huge success when people really want to work on their business.
You know, out of education, communication and implementation, isn't implementation the hardest?
I know it was for me. I know even in my own business, life got in the way. So once we put this together and I talked with some higher up NAPA guys in this case about it in 2011 about Repair Shop of Tomorrow and what I saw the dealers really needed. In my eyes, the independent dealer needs to be able to, again, focus on relationships at his counter and in his community, fix cars, manage SOPs and KPIs, and be a business owner.
I'm talking to Bud Houston, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Do you actually put products in the hands of the technicians?
Yes, absolutely. Anytime there's new product introduced, perhaps a new problem solver or a new technology, we keep that stuff on the van just because their local parts supplier may not have it available. And we think it's important to show them what's coming. And then seeing the part is really, especially with the new OEX, seeing the part and touching the part is something that changes perspective rather than just a piece of paper with a picture of the part.
Okay, so you put an OEX pad into the hand of a technician, and you've done this, I'm sure, hundreds of times. What do you see on their face when they see it?
You can tell they get it. You know, in our industry, there's technology that we use all the time that you look at, and you're like, that just doesn't make sense to me. I'm going to take your word that it works. You put an OEX brake pad in somebody's hand, and I just ask the question, why does this look so weird? And they're like, I bet it's to make it cool. They get it as soon as you put it in their hand.
So technicians holding your product and listening to your presentation, do you ever see the light bulbs go up? They raise their hand and says, boy, I've got a great idea for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Not only does that happen, every time I'm with a group of guys, I solicit ideas. I'm like, listen, a lot of the stuff that I've shared with you originated in a bay somewhere where the technician said, you know what, if you could do this, it would be really cool. And so the stuff that I get, I send up, you know, to our engineering team and say, hey, could we do something like this? And there's things in the works, and there's some things that came out recently that originated in, hey, if you could do this, it would be helpful. Because at the end of the day, you know, I think Federal Mogul is known in every line to be a problem solver and not just solving a problem, but making an installation easier as well.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. When you sit down with a client, do you talk e-myth and scaling your business and preparing for you not to have to work on it, but in it and then maybe someday out of it?
Well, absolutely. So we actually have a system that we bring the client in and we sit down and ask them about their business. What are their goals? Where do they want to go? Then we ask them what they're using now in their business, which allows me to not only see what they're using, but quite frankly, what they're not. Okay, so do they have CRM? Are they using email marketing? Do they use social media? So it allows us to build an individual program for each individual client. Now, I don't know of anybody that doesn't want any more time with their kids and to be able to work less and be able to have more of their time with their family. I know that's always been my why. But once we start to build that, I have clients now that they're up in their mid-50s and they're looking for an exit strategy. Well, I did it with three stores myself. I built two of them ground up clients, did $1 million in the first one in the first year, did $1.2 million in the other one in the first year, and then sold all three of them.
Were you lucky or was that part of your plan?
I won't say it was part of my plan, quite honestly, at that point. I was really looking to probably build another store, but you know, after talking with my wife and everything and evaluating our family, we have 5 kids, 3 grandkids. It was the right decision for us.
And I don't mean lucky is in any negative thing, because every once in a while, you know, you say, wow, I was at the right place at the right time.
Sure.
And so maybe there was some divine intervention. Call it luck. Call it you did everything smart up until that point. Did you put up a flag, basically, that so that your suitor knew that you may have been available?
I'll tell you, we had 3 stores. We did about $5.5 million. After talking with them, it's not about doing so many dollars. It's about making so much money. That's why people want your businesses, for net profit. So when people go out and they're volume based and they're just trying to throw sales out, that's not what's going to get it done for. What's going to get it done is net profit. And that's what makes your business viable for them to come in and buy.
When you take on a new client, are they coming on board because of the profitability piece, or because they're worn out the heck? They just don't know what's around the next corner? What's the number one reason?
What I find is so many of the clients are almost paralyzed, because what's happening is so many things are coming at them. Things are changing so fast. I mean, we look at Kodak in 98, it owned all the paper and ink. 2001, it's out of business. So there's so many things that are changing so fast in the automotive. I think it's even quicker than that. But regardless of that case, most people come in and they're looking to take their business to the next level. They're not sure how to do it, and they see other people do it. Quite frankly, that's the education part. That's the beginning. That's where you build the systems, operations, procedures. You know, we do the communication, and then you build the implementation, and then all of a sudden, before these clients know it, they're walking up the rungs of the ladder to where they can step out of their business and become a business owner, not working in their business. And that's freedom.
Do the clients after a year start noticing what they love to do best? Do they start seeing your advice really having an effect on their personal life and their business? Does it take a year or two to make stuff happen?
So right away, when clients start off and they get that initial burst of quality car come in, we talk about like RLO and a whole bunch of other guys, the 300% rule, you know, 100% inspection, 100% pricing out the jobs, and 100% presentation, with the 3 standards of what the customer came in to fix for first: safety needs, PM services. It's pretty standard. But once they follow that with the predictive marketing, so we go out to the right list, and then we do the social marketing right in their area. If you remember when I talked about, we don't do a marketing piece, we do a marketing program.
Mm-hmm.
So once you do it to the right clientele using predictive marketing, they get results immediately.
It's like their database is already there, but they haven't been able to really pick it apart right.
Correct. So, you know, 3 types of our marketing: a new customer acquisition, bringing our clients back more often, and then reactivating long lost customers. Well, the number one is bringing my clients that have held their hand up already back to us more times. Okay. So whenever we build the right value added proposition, not just giving money away, value-added proposition, and then we build a predictive marketing list, you bring in the right client. Then if we do our inspections and our presentations, you get our results.
Are you looking at visits per year then?
Well, you always want to look at visits per year, especially with our ongoing clients, for sure. We want that to go up. With LPM, we look at hours per vehicle in, sold, okay? So we're not it's not just marketing and system operation procedure. With labor profit management, we're able to look at the labor side of the business. So that's where the net profit comes in with our clients. When we look at productivity, efficiency, effective labor rates, and profit percentage on labor, when we put that all together, and that's part of our coaching calls, the net profit is amazing.
Well, you just said it, Labor Profit Manager, LPM, and isn't that how you got known?
Yeah, absolutely. Starting out, my Napa parts owner, store owner, came in and saw me working on my computer and said, "What is this?" And I said, "Well, it's something that we built for the store." And he said, "Oh my God, everybody should have that. He called Brett Robick from Napa, and Brett came down and looked at it, and then at that turn asked me if I would go share that with the Napa National Board, which in turn I did. And at that meeting, they asked me to be on the board, which was that was really life-changing for me to see how hard corporate was really working on the back end to help the dealers. And that's what really brought Repair Shop of Tomorrow to me, was because there was so much at the dealers' hands that we could utilize, and we just weren't utilizing it. So in my own stores, I started to utilize that. So within that, then I started, Napa asked me, would I go help other shop owners across the country, and would I go speak at some seminars, which I did. And then I had the pleasure to be one of the speakers at the 2015 Napa Expo in Las Vegas. So that was a great time.
Interesting. You mentioned the opportunity that you saw in the Napa Advisory Council and how hard they worked for their customer. And every supplier organization worth their weight in our industry has that. And I'm so glad you brought that up. And, you know, everyone, a part's a part, delivery's a delivery, a counterman's a counterman. But there's so much more behind it. And I'm glad you brought that up. What was your big takeaway from that first meeting of yours?
That these people are really in it to win it. And the folks that I dealt with are still friends of mine. But I would tell you, I met some of the smartest folks that I've ever been around in automotive. And then the second thing for me that was amazing is that, so I go on and talk about the labor side of the business. I'm also there going around with all of the new stuff coming out in the industry. So I got my education as well. A Vin Waterhouse, so listening to Auto Vitals, to see Kukui, to see, you know, all of these other processes, if you will, and systems, RLO, Elite, all these guys out there, being able to be around there and get my education as well. It was an awesome time in my life.
Yeah, you know, I hear a lot. People are so honored to be part of those. And they want to hear from me. They want me to share my wisdom. And they always say, I learned so much. I took more back than I gave.
There is absolutely no doubt about it. And met a lot of great people in the industry. So that's always awesome to have those relationships.
So when you sit down with a new client, is one of the things on your top hit list is that you've got to teach them how to be better networkers?
Networking's always, always a strong asset. There's BNI, there's a lot of different things, but getting into BDG groups, as in the Napa world, I know that Advanced has and CarQuest has theirs. Being in a group to be around other like-minded professionals is really, it's life-changing, because you will learn so much. I always call it being a fast follower. I want to see what someone else is doing in their business that they do really well, and I want to implement it into mine. And I call that being a fast follower.
I love that, fast follower. It's a great new – can I borrow that possibly?
Sure you can.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Being a perpetual student in my mind and stealing great ideas and implementing them and making them your own, you know, never be bashful to take a great idea from someone and integrate it. And the hard thing is implement it.
Well, I agree, but why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah.
If this is the right way to go and you're watching someone else be successful with it in their business model, integrate. Bring it in. Let's make it happen as quickly as we can. When I would go to seminars, you know, you take pages of notes. Then I'd break it down to 10 things. Then I'd break it down to 5 things. I might even only do the 3 most important things that I learned in that seminar. But one thing my guys knew is when I came back, change is coming, because we are going to implement this stuff so we can get to our goals.
So I'm a new client of yours, okay, Carms Repair, and we have done our due diligence, and I've done your questionnaire. We've spent some time together. Typically, when you look back at the client list, what's the number one change that happens right away, you know, on average, that you find?
Quite honestly, trust. They start to trust us. After we run our first program and tell them, expect this amount of cars, expect this dollar per car, if you follow this procedure, mm-hmm. and then it starts to happen, all of a sudden they're like, wow, we've done that before. It's never worked like that.
I love what you just said. Let me try to rephrase my question. Do you see in average people having to fix their labor rate, fix their gross profit, have a different hiring program, a pay program? What do you see as the number one first fix?
Well, the first fix to me is always labor side of the business, not just because I created the product, but because our number one opportunity at profit is the labor side of our business. Number one cost in our business, labor cost. So when we start to measure and manage the labor side of the business, what becomes very apparent is most operators don't know effective labor rate, don't understand productivity or efficiency. Once we share that with them and they understand and realize the amount of money that they are leaving on the ground, it's amazing. It's eye-opening. And when people want to change their destiny very quickly, the labor side of the business is the place I go.
Have you ever helped any client with a major pivot in their business, meaning that they really needed to have major surgery?
Yeah. I'll use a gentleman that I absolutely love. He's in Streetsboro, Ohio. And he told us that when I first sat down and talked with him, that he does all of this. And I asked him, you do? Okay, so when was the last time you did it? He goes, well, I did that a year or two ago. And quite honestly, I sat down and I said, okay, Jim, we need to reinvent this, and we need to start touching our clients. The reason why our clients are going somewhere else, we forget about them. So what we did is we built our programs and got back to system operation procedure. And I know this gentleman's doing better than he's ever done before. And he's happy.
We talk so much about the technician shortage. Do you work with clients on how to build their base with their talent?
I listen to Carm Capriotti, too. And I agree with so many of the other people that have been on here. When we build quality stores and we have a pay-for-performance program, it very quickly gets out amongst, it's a fraternity amongst technicians. They train in the same areas, okay? It very quickly gets out, which store pays right, he's so busy, that's where I can go make money. So I find a lot of times if you operate your store correctly and you keep putting those clients in the doors, those technicians with the right kind of a pay plan, they come to you. So I think the shortage is amongst the dealers not thinking right. I think we need to reevaluate the value of our technicians and not be afraid to charge what we're worth.
Does it ever get into new and better pay plans, better benefits?
Absolutely. We just had a supplement insurance webinar for our clients for them to look at it, because really I think it's so hard to have quality technicians today and then have somebody leave because there was a little bit of a better insurance program, hospitalization or what have you. Now, if they're making the right amount of money and a pay for performance, that's usually not the case. But I can tell you this, I just had it happen with two clients. They need to be able to take care of their people. We need to value our technicians. But to be able to do that and have these pay plans, we have to be able to charge the right amount of money for our services.
Got it. Passion. Do you see a rebirthed passion in your clients after a year working with them?
Oh, I do. I do. And that's what's really fun. When we have a man and a wife, a two-person store that now has two techs, a service advisor. They went on their first vacation that they have in many, many years. And I can say this over and over and over with clients. We have another young lady that you actually interviewed that's over in Ireland, right now enjoying it. And she just got back from another week's vacation. It's not that they're not working by any means, but I go back to this. We want to help the dealers build relationships at the counters and in the community do what they do best, fix cars. But then we want to teach them the system operation procedure and KPIs so they can own a business, not work in it. So that's what I see. The minute that they can go into, well, life changes and it's exciting.
Hey, have you ever been given the keys to the vacation condo to use whenever from your clients?
That hasn't happened yet, but we'll keep on working at that.
Yeah, okay, David. Listen, you got us to get this. So, you know, we got to give it up and give you a couple of weekends. Thank you so much. Culture. It seems to be, this is something we talk about a lot. And people are so willing to share that one of the great elixirs of a rebirth and a changed, revolutionary new business is culture. Do you agree with that?
110%. I mean, for me, we talk about everybody riding the bus. And when we build these programs that are pay for performance, because what is an independent business person? How are we paid? By performance. So if we teach the technicians that their job is to do that quality inspection because they get paid on billed hours, okay? We bring an advisor and he gets paid on gross and net. And so what happens? Now all of a sudden we're a team. I need to, for my technicians to do a quality job, for my service advisor to do a quality presentation, okay? I need my owner to do predictive marketing and bring the right kind of cars to us. So my thing was excellence should be rewarded. So in our stores, if somebody did excellent, they got paid more. As well, they should. It's the America way. I've gone up to technicians and said, Joe, if you bill this many hours, and you get to this level, would it make sense you can make more money? Never had a technician tell me no. Never. And the same thing for an advisor. If you build a gross and a net program for him, if he's running that store and he's selling it at the right amount of money, shouldn't he have an opportunity to make more money? This is the way we build team. And for me, that's the only way to do it. And when I was out on the road for 20 weeks a year, with three stores, I had all my system operation procedure. So I would get emails on my phone to be able to look at my numbers. I knew my numbers at every store, okay? But through that system operation and procedure, I knew how to help everybody else. But they were winning because it was a complete team.
So everyone should listen to what David just said. I had three stores and I was on the road 20 weeks a year for Napa, basically going out and working with clients and making presentations.
Correct.
And there's so many business owners out there, service professionals that really have and want to do this. But if the house isn't in order, you can't.
Well, again, it's system operation.
Yep.
And procedure.
Yeah.
Each client is different, and I go into the rungs of the ladder. Where are you at? And then we implement as they can educate themselves as we can implement.
David, any regrets?
Miss my people. Miss my people a lot that I worked with.
Yeah.
Miss my clients quite a bit. But I'm very thankful that every day I get to get up and help people in an industry that I love. There's nothing better than for me to help someone change their lives. And, you know, it's what I want my five kids to be able to see what their dad does.
Oh, cool. David Justice, Repair Shop of Tomorrow. Thanks for coming on the show.
I'm absolutely honored to be on the show, Carm. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David Justice, for contributing to the podcast. I know our community thanks you for sharing your story and passion to grow success for the service profession. David's bio and key talking points can be found at remarkableresults.biz/E363. I would always appreciate an iTunes review. I read them all and love to hear from you. So contact me with whatever's on your mind. Many ask me to highlight certain episodes that cover a topic that they would be interested in or they're working on. My email is carm@remarkableresults.biz. Hey, thanks for being here, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.